Well, you may have heard that women over the age of 30 should be using a nightly retinoid, but did you also know that we should be using a vitamin C serum? Well, during the day, it helps to protect your skin from future damage and boosts the efficacy of your sunscreen. Using vitamin C serum at night helps to promote collagen production, which of course we all need. And I've been using the Barefaced Liquid Gold Vitamin C Serum morning and night for several months now, and I've noticed such a difference in my skin since I started incorporating it into my routine. I cannot recommend this product enough. I love it. You can get 15% off your purchase when you use the code MAMA15 at barefaced.com. Able offers thoughtfully designed apparel, denim, shoes, handmade jewelry, and leather bags that you can feel good about wearing. Each piece is manufactured in the communities where Able makes an impact, including neighborhoods right here in Nashville, Tennessee, and around the world. I love that women comprise more than 90% of the staff at Able, and Able has been able to see firsthand how providing women with safe and dignified jobs has the power to change not only their families, but entire communities. Use the code MAMA20 for 20% off your first purchase site-wide when you visit ableclothing.com. You most likely know the name Hayley Witters from her hit song, Everything She Ain't. This Iowa farm girl moved to Nashville at age 18 and before long had cuts as a songwriter with Alan Jackson, Martina McBride, and Little Big Town. She was the ACM Female New Artist of the Year last year, and she's about to head out on tour with Jason Aldean. She's also featured on one of my favorite songs on Connor's new album, Roulette on the Heart, which you should be hearing on the radio soon if you haven't already. Her mom came over while she was in town from Iowa, and it was so cool to learn more about Hayley's journey from the cornfields of Iowa to the big stage. So I was the biggest Hayley Witters fan before Connor told us that that is who he had asked to feature duet on Roulette on the Heart. But what do you think about the song?
Oh my gosh, I love it.
It's so good.
It's funny because you approached me about doing the podcast, and I'm like, yeah, sure. And I'm like, I haven't even heard this song. So then I hit Hayley up. I'm like, hey, I haven't even heard this. And so then, yeah. Get to listen. And I'm like, it was amazing.
Yeah, it's so good. So yeah. I hope that later on I'm re-airing this because like it went number one or something. So crossing my fingers, it'll be the radio single. But I just think it's a great song.
And then,
of course, Special Attachment because my oldest son directed the music video. Mm-hmm. So if listeners have not gone to see the music video, they need to go check it out because one, Hayley looks stunning in it. I just think it's so beautiful. And then it's just really pretty the way that they, you know, told the story and everything. Mm-hmm. But it did definitely make me more interested in knowing more about her story. And she grew up in Iowa, so you had to send your baby girl about 600 miles away to Nashville.
It's terrifying.
I'm sure. I can only imagine. Let's go back. Tell me a little bit about what she was like as a child.
Okay. She was the oldest of the crew, and I had my kids real close together, so she was a little mother hen and still is with all the all the ones that came after her.
Yeah, I always hear that about firstborns in a big family like that. Mm-hmm. They end up kind of helping you parent a little bit.
They do. And Hayley is definitely an old soul. Like, she came out with all this wisdom. I'm like, how did that happen? And I was young when I had her, so I'm like, wow. She kind of raised me a little bit, too.
Yeah. How old were you when you had her?
I was 20 when she was born.
You were young then. And then she's the first of six children, right?
Yes.
Tell me the order of, like, who came when.
Okay. So Hayley was the oldest. And then I had Lakin, another girl. And then Drake had a son. And then another son, River. And then another son, Tiger. And then the youngest is Heavenly.
Oh my goodness, these names. You got more creative as you went.
Oh, I did.
Okay, I got to go back to Tiger. Is that on the birth certificate?
Yep. But it's not Tiger like the animal, it's T-Y-G-E-R.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
To be creative or it's somewhere in a family name?
Well, when I wanted to, it's kind of a funny story to River, the one above him.
Yeah.
I was pregnant with Tiger and I was on the treadmill working out that day and we're struggling and everybody, because I started getting more creative with my name. Hayley was kind of, you didn't hear Hayley very often.
Yeah, at the time it probably wasn't that popular. Now it became one of the most popular.
Right. And then it became a thing where everybody's like, what are you going to name the next one? Because everyone got a little more interesting. And so they always had these expectations. So that when I was pregnant with Tiger, I was kind of struggling. And I'm like, oh, what can we name him? And I wanted a boysy, outdoorsy kind of name.
Yeah.
And River, who was like two or three at the time, I forget how old he was, but I'm like, River, what should we name your little brother? And he goes, let's name him Bear. And I'm like, Bear? And I'm like, what about Tiger? He's like, yeah, let's name him Tiger.
Oh, that's fun. So he had something to do with the name.
Yeah. And I mentioned a few people. I'm like, what do you think of Tiger? And they're like, Tiger Woods? And I'm like, no, not like Tiger Woods. Just like Tiger, like the, you know?
Yeah.
Ferocious.
Yeah.
So we went with that. And
that's pretty cool. And then yeah. Your daughter is Heavenly.
Yeah.
How pretty. And she goes by that name.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really neat. That's sweet. So she was the Heavenly last baby.
Yep. She was. It's, her full name's Heavenly Angel.
So. Oh, really? So even has the angel middle name. Okay. Yep. That's so cool. You've just inspired all these moms listening to go get creative with the names. I love it. So tell me a little bit about Haley's personality as a child. Like you saw that she was creative, musical, all those things pretty early on, right?
She was always singing along, and I noticed early on, you know, like she can carry a tune, she's knows what she's doing, and she was always real she would always get the kids involved in these little skits or musical things, and she was always had it so organized and had a vision of how she wanted it, and when they weren't doing it just like she wanted, she'd be like, no, not like that, do it again. So she always
kind she's kind of directing drive, the show.
Right. Drive and the vision of what she wanted. And she dressed up once as Shania Twain when she was a little one, and just always singing along.
What kind of music was playing in the house with your kids when they were growing up? Definitely. Was it country?
It was. However, I always tell people, like, it wasn't like old. Haley's very old country, loves that. And I was always not listening to old country. I'm like, I was
not whatever was popular when country at the wasn't time. Cool. Okay.
I was kind of more, not really pop, but like rock and a variety of all kinds of different stuff.
I think
stuff.
I've heard her reference maybe a like Mellencamp influence and like a little bit of like that kind
of.
Which I kind of grew up on too. Mm-hmm. Like that was super popular. So you see this in her. Would you have ever guessed at the time though that like it would become a thing and something that you were going to have to figure out, okay, what do I do with this goal she has?
I was a huge, me and her dad both. That's the one main thing we had in common is we both loved live music and concerts, and we were always comparing who went to this many concerts and whatever. And so we were always huge fans of live music. And I'm very much a dreamer. Like when she showed the interest in the music, I'm like, okay, what do we got to do? And, you know, she probably was getting a little older, maybe 11, 12. When I could tell, you know, she really has a passion for this, and how do I help?
Had you heard her sing at that point, like anywhere, whether it was church or school talent show or anything like that?
No, not at all, really, because we're Catholic at that time, which Catholic church songs.
Nobody's standing up and doing the Sunday special, right?
She was not, definitely no. So, in fact, I did encourage her when I seen how much she loved singing. I'm like, you should go out for show choir and get involved in that. And so she did do that in junior high, but she's like, I don't really like the songs they're singing and
what
they're
doing.
She wanted
to do her own thing, didn't she?
So she ended up, I think, dropping out of show choir too. And then guitar, she wanted to start playing guitar. So we set her up with lessons to do that. And her guitar teacher was great. I think it was one of her first lessons she went in. She's like, I want to write my own songs and sing my own songs. And he totally molded her little lesson right around what she wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And I think she was recording songs with him within the first couple months where he'd play guitar and she'd bring in her lyrics and they'd put it into song format. And
when you heard those recordings, were you thinking, okay, she's pretty good?
Yeah, I always, you know, you always think your kids are amazing.
Yeah, they're the best at whatever they're doing, right?
So, I always thought she was good. And I would just wanted to, I think early on, I went to some little class or something at school with the kids on how to help guide your children, figure out what their passions are and help to kind of guide them to get there. So I remember I'm like, okay, now this is a long ways away. And I don't know nothing about Nashville or Tennessee, but
you did know that's where she needed to be if she was going to do it. You knew enough.
I knew I needed to get her at least down there and let somebody hear her and, you know, somebody that knows something about it and, like, help guide her because I didn't know where. She, at one point, once she got to be about 15, then she wanted to just move to Nashville. And I'm like, move to Nashville? What are you going to do? Like, how are you going to live? She's like, well, I'll just I'm like, where are you going to play? She's like, I'll just play on the street. And I'm like, okay, well, that's, you know, she was 15 at the time. So yeah. I'm like, this will fizzle out or she'll find a boyfriend and
get distracted. Yeah, for sure.
Something else. But they never did. And so when it came time, it got closer. I think she was maybe 16. And I'm like, let's go down to Nashville. And I somewhere read Renee Grant Williams' name.
You said that was probably just from like Googling or reading an article that she gave.
I was reading.
Yeah. And she was a pretty famous vocal teacher here in town and had worked with a lot of big names.
Yeah.
And so you figured out a way to get her in for a lesson with her.
Yeah. So I think it was a music magazine or something I was reading in. So I'm like, I'll just look her up and try to get Haley in for a lesson. And hopefully Renee can point her in a direction because that was about all the further I knew about Nashville is find a vocal person and
let
somebody hear. So,
what do you remember Renee's response to seeing Haley being? Did she kind of help you maybe validate? Yeah, maybe there is something here.
Yeah, I don't think I sat in on the lesson. I think it was just Haley and Renee in there. But I remember when it was over, Renee comes out and she goes, you know, she's really good, but you got to be present to win, or you got to be in that. I forget how she worded it, but it's like, you have to be in Nashville to take it where Haley wants to take it.
Yeah. And you weren't, you know, you weren't in a situation where you could just pick up and move to Nashville with Haley and let her pursue a dream. You had six kids.
Right.
I mean, you guys have, is it a trucking business that your family owns?
I own a trucking company. My husband owns a construction company. So
y'all are tied down to where you are for sure. Yeah.
There was not going to be any moving to Nashville for either one of us right away, but she was only 16 and I'm like, you got two more years of school. Just keep doing what you're doing. And if that's what you want to do, we'll figure it out.
Were there more trips to Nashville?
There was a couple, I think. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Before she graduated. And I think when we came down for the Renee thing, maybe we just did that lesson. Then the next time we came back, Renee was having like a workshop on how to be a performer, to where you get up on stage and you got to perform in front of her little workshop of people, which was really fun. And that whole trip, I told Haley when we were going, because it's a long trek to get down there, I'm like, let's check out colleges while we're there and we'll just check everything out.
Did she want to go to college?
Not really, but I think she thought, if I tell my parents I'll go to college to be able to go to Nashville, I'll do it.
She's willing to do it,
I'm like, so we looked into Belmont. We toured Belmont while we were down there, and they had a music business program. And I'm like, Haley, it's stuff you'll need to know probably if you're going to pursue this. So they kind of go hand in hand. And she was all for it, I think, just to get down here.
Yeah.
She wasn't going to tell us no if that was her
Is that what her she ticket. Did, music business?
Yeah, she took music business there.
So when she came to Nashville, what is the first thing you remember? Because I feel like maybe the songwriting part didn't take her as long, because she got some cuts that were really impressive. Mm-hmm. One of them was, I think, Alan Jackson. Another was Little Big Town. Mm-hmm. Do you remember those phone calls or that news that those people were actually going to cut songs she had written?
Yeah. Well, her very first cuts were Martina cut two of her songs.
Really?
And I remember that one because it was like, oh, my. There was so many little steps along the way that Haley would call and be so excited, and we'd be like, oh my gosh, here we go, this is the big deal.
Yeah.
And it was, and like, it wasn't her first gig in Nashville, at one of the bars, and we traveled down just for that, and it was a music round, which now I laugh about it because I've been around enough to know, oh my gosh, I can't believe we drove down there for her first music round. And
that's a good mama though, because at the time, everything in the early parts of the journey feels like a big deal.
It does.
Like, this is going to be, like, I used to think he'd go stand in line at an open mic night somewhere just to play, which you probably know what that's like too. But Connor would go to Puckett's, or he did the thing where you got to audition and be part of the Bluebird series or those kind of things. And I can remember how we got as excited about that as we do now about, you know, this album just came out or what. Isn't it funny? Like, it at the time, but you just kept thinking, you know. You never know who's in that room. You never know who's going to hear you.
Yeah.
Like, those kind of things.
Yeah.
So it was just kind of, I don't know, just really fun to dream along with them and think like, what if? But at the same time, as a mom, you're like scared to death because you're like, hey, what if not? Right?
I just never even thought of the what if nots. I was just so certain this is it.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's funny. And yeah, I remember a couple times we loaded a bunch of relatives up in the motorhome and drove down because she had a half hour time slot at Richard's, which was a restaurant. to play. And
you loaded up the RV to come. Oh, wow. Because that felt like a big deal, right?
Yep, aunts and cousins. And we're like, you guys got to be there. This is a big one.
Oh, my goodness.
30-minute plane slot.
Oh, my goodness. And yeah. Now she's in,
that
like
was probably the first
big
two,
arenas
3 years,
and stuff.
But yeah, it's funny.
Yeah.
It's funny because, yeah, you just don't know where it's going. But as a parent, you kind of believe it's going to happen. But after a lot of years and a lot of things, you're like,
yeah.
But she enjoyed the whole, all of right. it.
How did you encourage her when she would, admittedly, she would get discouraged, or there was times when she was really homesick? And mm-hmm. you know, even though she had had some of those really good things happen, she also had valleys where she was like, is this going to work or not?
Yeah.
So how did you help her stay encouraged? And did she ever get to the point where she was like actually coming home?
She did. I remember we came down. It was her first year at Belmont, and it was like in the spring, like March or April. And there was a lot of phone calls up to that point, you know, where she was homesick and couldn't see the stars at night. And
like, I love Haley. That from the Iowa farm girl. Like that's,
yeah.
That's
neat. But we went to dinner with her and she was really down, and she was about in tears at the table telling us that she wanted to come home. And this was like April, and she didn't have a great solid friend base at mm-hmm. that time. And she just didn't feel like she wanted to stay. And me and my husband both are like, well, you got to finish out the year. You can't just quit. And encouraged her, you know, finish the year. And if you feel the same way and don't want to go back in the fall, then you don't have to go back.
But yeah.
It's funny because she took it. We just had this conversation the other day. She took what we said. I just didn't want her to quit because I felt like she hadn't given it a long enough amount of time. But mm-hmm. she took it as we didn't think she was trying hard enough.
Oh.
Is how she interpreted it, which uh-huh. I just found out recently. And I'm like, wasn't that at all? Like,
yeah.
I just, you know how long it's going to take, and you know how hard a road it is.
Yeah. You don't want her to regret giving up so early either. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and it was good that she didn't give up then, because she, by the time the semester was over, she had found better friends.
And in that last couple
for
of
next
months.
Year.
Yeah.
And so she was all.
She's probably thankful that you didn't let her, you know, give up,
right,
give up then.
Right.
Yeah.
But there's been, you know, there's a lot of disappointments along the road, and a lot of times where she's sees her friends back home getting married and having kids and doing this. And she's like, what am I doing?
Feels like she's missing out. Yeah. Has it been hard for her to be away from the siblings?
It is. And I think it's harder now because one of them had a baby. And so now she's, I think, feels like she's so far away and wants to be more involved and see him and be with him every chance she gets when she's back. And I come down a lot because we have the, you know, a place down here, and my husband comes down quite a bit, but I know it's different to get out of Nashville and go home. And I know she treasures that time in the country where you don't have all the music stuff around you all the time.
What's one of the most, would you say, has been a highlight for you in Haley's career? Something you've either gotten to see her do, or we talk about highlights for her so far.
The heart behind the iMom podcast is storytelling, because every mom has a story to tell. I know that when I talk to my friends who are parenting and we share stories, we all end up feeling less alone and more capable of loving our kids well. You can find information everywhere on the internet. Some is bad parenting advice and some is pretty wise. We like to think there's a lot of wisdom on iMom.com, and when you combine that signature wisdom with a great story, it brings parenting to life. We want a mom who's listening to see herself and her kids in these stories and rest in the confidence that she is the perfect mom for her kids. Check out the iMom podcast with new episodes every Monday.
Gosh, all of it really kind of blows me away. I have to pinch myself every time I see her doing something, because yeah. I always told her if she ever warms up for Bon Jovi, that's going to be the moment.
You're never going to lose that rock of blood, right?
But I don't. Her songwriting to me is always a sweeter acknowledgement. Artistry is awesome too, but mm-hmm. as far as to me, writing a great, great song,
rewarding really to see happen. And then to see other people validate that in her by cutting her songs has got to be pretty special.
Recently when she was touring and the Iowa Hawkeyes and the Cornhuskers have a big rivalry. She went to perform in Nebraska and they were all singing and chanting back Everything She Ain't.
I thought that was fun.
Yeah. Which was awesome because it wasn't too long after we'd played each other and there wasn't a lot of love between the two states, but I'm like, that's really awesome.
Did you get a video clip of that or were you there?
I did.
Yeah. So somebody sent it. And
well, I videoed it myself because I was standing there. That was something. As soon as they get a song that, you know, it's on the radio and everybody's singing along too and they know the words too, that's
When you see the crowd start singing back, she's like, okay, wow, this is really resonating with someone. Of course, it's always so special for someone, you know, anytime they get invited to be on the Opry stage. Yes. What do you remember about when Haley was invited to make her debut at the Opry?
Oh my gosh, I can still remember when she called and was so excited that she was going to play the Opry. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And yeah, I think we had at least 20 people from home come
down.
Did
y'all let up in the Winnebago again and go down?
We didn't. Allegiant got a direct flight from Cedar Rapids to Nashville. So we all loaded up on that plane. And
wow, that's really cool.
Down, but it was awesome. We got an Airbnb and I think there was close to 20, but me and Bill, her dad, we got to go backstage and do all that and see her warming up with the house band and singing, and it was crazy.
Was it your first visit to the Opry?
Well, that's a funny story. It wasn't my first visit to the Opry, but early on, and I forgot to share this with you earlier, but early on, I think it was the second trip down when she had the vocal lesson with Renee. Me and my sister came with me and a good friend of mine, and we went to Tootsie's that night and hung out, and we met Roy.
Was Haley with you?
No.
Oh, okay.
Mama's down on Broadway. And we met Roy Clark's band at Tootsie's.
Oh.
And two of them. I think one was his musical director and one was the another one, and we were like visiting with them. We're like, yeah, my daughter's coming down to Nashville and she's gonna be a big star. He's like, we're playing at the Opry tomorrow, you guys ought to come over, we'll get you backstage.
Somebody from Roy Clark's band?
I think it was his musical director.
Okay.
And then we're like, yeah, you're just joking, you're not really. And he's like, no, really. And we're halfway believed him, halfway didn't.
Yeah.
And the guy gives us his credit card and he's like, this shows you how serious I am, like, bring my credit card back and give it to me tomorrow.
What?
So I'm like, okay, yeah, maybe this is for real. And so we went home that night and we told Haley and she's like, no way, are we? And I'm like, yeah, we're going tomorrow night. So we all went there and we got backstage with the band and Haley got to meet little Jimmy Dickens.
Yes.
And she was just blown away because she loved that guy.
Wow. I'm not sure why we didn't think about this sooner, but we have been sprinkling Coat Defense's daily preventative powder on Tucker's dog bed, and both he and his bed stay fresher. We love this daily powder that acts like a dry shampoo and works to eliminate odor and repel dirt. With all the rain we've had this spring, I hate that wet dog smell, and Coat Defense combats odors with a chemical-free formula that prevents the yeast that causes a stinky dog. I think you'll love this powder, and you can try it for 15% off by using code MAMA15 when you check out at CoatDefense.com.
So let's get this straight. Haley got a chance to go backstage at the Opry before she was ever even playing anywhere else because Mama went out on Broadway the night before. Okay, that's the best story ever.
Yeah, well, that whole trip, I kind of smoothed over that with other things, but the whole trip was, so our whole family kind of is like, fake it till you make it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So that trip when we came down here, I also, my other friend is, she could sell anybody anything. Well, we went to, what's the palace place?
That's also, Nashville Palace.
Yeah, we went out to Nashville Palace. That was another stop. And Haley was with us then. And my friend's giving the sales pitch, acting like Haley's big on top of the musical scene in Iowa, like performing for thousands of people, which Haley at that point probably hadn't even played for 100 people. And my friend had the Nashville Palace manager showing us around their venue and telling her how many people they could pack into there to watch. And we're just all going with it. And yeah, it was funny, but We did that at several. So
you kind of manifested it.
We did. Yeah. We did. We also went to Country Jam, which is a big festival in Wisconsin.
Uh-huh.
Like, I think there was probably 10 years straight that we were going there, and it was Haley's high school years. And we would go every year, and by then we knew she wanted to be a singer and all that, so we'd make her bring her guitar to play in the camp the whole time.
Uh-huh.
So she'd play in the campgrounds for us and whatever, and usually that you'd always start your morning with a Bloody Mary, because festivals are hard.
Yes, it's all day long.
Yeah, so the garbage collector guys were coming around one morning to pick up everybody's garbage bags, uh-huh. and they're two cute little young boys in their red pickup, and we were telling them all about Haley, and I think Haley had her guitar out that morning when they came, and they're like, oh, cool, yeah, and we're like, you want her to ride around and play guitar while you guys are picking up garbage? And they're like, yeah, sure. So they put the tailgate down, and Haley hopped up on their tailgate, played guitar and sang while the garbage guys, and they're not, you know, they were just the campground kids,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, with the back of a pickup truck, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't a real garbage truck that we made her, but she jumped in and sang around.
Those are the stories that are fun, though, when she's at this point in her career, right. to look back at, like, right. okay, those are the days. Our favorite story is one of my friends worked at Kirkland's, like the gift and uh-huh. home store, and asked Connor early on if he would come and sing Christmas songs at their Kirkland's open house Christmas sale. So we laugh all the time. Like last week, he was on a billboard in Times Square for his new album. And so we're like, boy, you come a long way from Kirkland.
Yeah, no doubt.
Those
yeah.
are the fun stories to look back on.
They are the best.
Do you have a favorite Haley song?
Gosh, there's so many. But the ones I like aren't necessarily ones you'll probably ever hear on the radio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's the case for a lot of us moms sometimes, of knowing like the ones that, I don't know, have deeper meaning or message or something, may not be the most what the business considers radio friendly, or
right,
something,
exactly.
I guess. One of the songs I was talking earlier that is super special in your family is the song One More Hell, mm-hmm. that she wrote, and that was a tribute to her brother. Do you remember when she played that for you?
Yeah, so right after the funeral, we loaded the kids up in the camper and took off for a couple months we weren't sure where we were going, but we didn't want to stay in town.
Yeah.
And I feel like she wrote that song or part of that song in that camper. And I feel like she played it for us then.
Oh, wow.
I think.
Yeah. So this is her brother. What was his name?
Drake.
So he was Drake. And he's the one directly under her, right? Second born
Lakin.
Or third?
He's third.
Lakin's next, and then Drake. Okay, so Drake was your third born.
Yeah.
And he was in a car accident mm-hmm. in just outside of where you guys live in Iowa, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So Haley was, you said it was the night of his 19th birthday?
Yep.
Wow. How did you as a mom walk that journey?
I don't even remember, honestly. I feel like a couple years after that was kind of a blur.
Wow. Yeah, I can only imagine. The night of his 19th birthday, what had y'all done that day? Like, what was that?
That day the whole thing's kind of bizarre because he was supposed to, I was in Nashville.
You were here.
Not that, right before that, like the weekend before that. And my husband and the boys were all supposed to take off to go to Canada to go fishing. And so I got home from Nashville like Sunday night and Drake was home. And I'm like, what are you doing here? You're supposed to be in Canada. He's like, oh, I didn't want to go. I wanted to work so I could make money because I want to be able to, he had just graduated high school and he was big on moving out and getting his own place.
Yeah.
So he was going to stay here and work. And so he could move out with his buddies and get an apartment. And so the day of his birthday, we went to lunch and nothing really special.
Did you get a phone call or something? Or
Not a phone about the accident.
Mm-hmm.
Not a phone call. It's kind of your worst nightmare. He was supposed to be up sleeping. And the cops came into my door at like 6 a.m. and they're like, break the news. And I'm like, I don't think it's Drake. Drake's up in bed.
And you were home by yourself, right? Your husband's
mm-hmm.
in Canada fishing with the other kids?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So they're like, ma'am, we had a officer on duty that identified Drake. And I'm like, I don't think so. And I ran upstairs and he wasn't in bed. And
truly worst nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Awful. And then was it up to you to tell the other kids, Haley in particular?
Because she was here, I assume.
Yeah, I called Haley. I called Lakin. And the rest of them were with Bill in Canada.
Mm. I guess you had to call your husband. And then,
they were out in the lake in Canada. So I had to call him. My sister's husband was with them, too. I think he got a hold of Bill, who was in another boat.
Okay. So she wrote that song sometime shortly after. It's called One More Hell. It's so special. And it's the way that she has, not just with that song, but she has such a gift for taking situational things and then making these melodies around them that is really special in mm-hmm. the way that she said, my mom is not good. Yeah. But I bet that her personality is one that was cathartic, that helped her to process all of that.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure that was kind of her therapy to work through that.
Let's talk about Everything She Ain't.
Okay.
Change the mood a little bit. Yeah. That song, it was so popular. I was telling you, I felt like it was on the radio like every time I heard it. It was a very successful song for her. Did you love it from the start?
I did, yeah. It's very catchy, the little hand claps. And Jake, her husband, was kind of, he produced the album.
Uh-huh.
And he kind of came up with the hand claps and that kind of stuff, I think. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the production had a lot to do with that one, too. Yeah. The way that it was done. There were a couple of quotes that I write down. I'm going to look on my phone. One's talking about her recording style. And she says, this producer said, I don't know if it was Jake or not, but said she almost seems to be oblivious to the recording process. She sings as though no one else can hear her. That's a pretty cool mm-hmm. trait to be able to have in, you know, the chaos of what the recording process is.
Yeah, that's one thing I really admire about Haley. Like, I'm the type of person where I really worry about what everybody else is thinking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't. Like, she does what Haley likes or what Haley wants to do. And not, and even coming down here where you get so many people wanting to interject and tell you how to do things.
So many voices.
You should do this.
Yeah.
And she just has always known who she is and really doesn't modify any of that to fit what somebody thinks she should be doing.
Yeah, style, and mm-hmm. Sound, songs, all of the things. Has she kind of always been wired like that?
She has, yeah.
It's hard to be that way, like, as a teenager with peer pressure and all of the things, but I would say they kind of equate, right?
She really was, yeah. She's very headstrong, and when she believes what she's doing is what she needs to be doing, nobody's going to really tell her anything different.
Have you seen her fight for songs or fight for, you know, specific decisions she wanted to make as the CEO of Haley Witters?
Not, I haven't seen her fight because I'm not down here with it too much. Actually, I have overheard a few phone calls.
Those count.
Where I'm like, woo, that girl is strong.
Yeah. You're like, I don't know. I don't need to be worried about her. Yeah.
But she's told me stories about, you know, they want me to do this or they think I should put this out and I don't like it and it's not me. And
yeah.
And she goes, I'm not going to do it.
Wow.
Which I admire because I think that takes a pretty determined person to not listen to, you know, the music execs that are sitting behind the desk telling her to do something different. So
mm-hmm, exactly.
Applaud that in her.
The other quote is about, you know, they say it's a 10-year town and Haley's definitely one of those artists who's had some, you know, significant perseverance in this and the ups and the downs and all of that. And this was an article early on that I thought was cool. It says, this is quoting her, no matter how this pans out, I'm proud of the fact that I had a dream and I chased it. It beats the hell out of me a lot of times, but I can hang my hat on the fact that I didn't let the challenge scare me off. I feel like maybe that sums up Haley a little bit.
That does, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Like I said, there she had the one time that she was really, I think that day at that restaurant, if we would have said, Haley, just come home with us, she would have in a heartbeat, which I'm glad we didn't. And I'm sure she's glad today that we didn't say that because she's had other downs and it kind of does beat up on you and she'll call home discouraged, but she's never really been down like that.
Yeah. What do you think about her style? Her unmatched, her Iowa farm girl. What do they call? They call her the corn queen.
The corn star queen.
Yeah, she's a corn star. What do you think about that?
At first, I thought it was cute. And then I'm like, it is cute. It's very cute. It reminds me of Hee Haw a little bit.
It definitely does. Yeah, it does.
Because I go to so many concerts, there was a time where I'm like, Haley, one of the things I love about music is they come out, or concerts, is they come out with these gorgeous, elaborate outfits. I'm like, wasn't sure about the corn thing for every show, but it definitely grew on me and the fans loved it. And she's like, are you kidding me? She goes, people love it. If I come out in anything else, they're like, where's the corn skirt?
Yeah, so, all the little crinoline under the skirts and the dresses, yeah, and the bows in the hair and all the things, yeah, kind of helped her, I guess, build a little bit of a brand or identity. And
yeah, it's funny. I don't know if you ever heard the story about when her, you know, how she wears the little short,
yeah,
dresses and, yeah, the one that blew up and she was on stage at, I think it was Tortuga Festival, and the big screens that are behind the stage or whatever, those video people caught her with it blowing up in the
wind. Oh, no. Oh,
and she was telling me that story, and I was, right before that, I had sent her a text, and I said, Haley, that dress is too short. You need to get a different one or something, just because it was...
Yeah, you thought it was too short.
Well, because everybody's below her, too. Like, when you're up on stage.
Yeah, it makes everything short, shorter.
I'm,
yeah,
like, I hope you got something on underneath. And she started laughing. But anyway, about a week later, she sent me the picture of the dress blowing up on the beach. I'm like, oh, my God.
That's hilarious.
I would have been mortified. And she was so laughing about it. She's like, I don't care. That's real.
She reenacted a little bit in her wedding pictures, though. I saw those really cute wedding pictures.
And I'm
pictures,
like, bless your heart, because I would be mortified if that was me.
Yeah, she's got those cute legs and, yeah, everything. She's like, oh, what the heck?
I'm like, well, good for you.
Yeah, she's the bloomer pictures and from the wedding just cracked me up. Tell me about the wedding. It looked like it was kind of magical.
Yeah, the wedding was beautiful.
It was that back home?
Yeah, that was at our farm.
Yeah, so the corn star got married in a cornfield.
Yeah, she did. And that was, I think, another vision. They got engaged in a bean field, I believe, right behind our house. So yeah, we don't live at the farm that she got married at, but there's a bean field behind, and that's where Jake proposed. And then, yeah, she, from the get-go, wanted to get married out in a field,
yeah,
on the farm. So, again, I'm worrying about that and thinking, you know, they wanted to get married in October, September, I think it was October.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, Haley, sometimes we have snow in October. Like, you can't get married in October in Iowa. Like, and I was scared to death the whole time that watch it be snowing or raining or something. But she had a beautiful day.
Yeah, it looked like it was, mm-hmm, it was really sweet. And when did you meet Jake?
I met Jake. Oh, when they met at Belmont. They were in a class together.
Okay.
And Haley, I was down in Nashville for something, and they weren't even dating yet. And we went to, there had the whole street in Demumbrian shut down. There was a concert. We were outside the fence, and Jake was inside the fence with a couple of friends. And as soon as she seen him, she like ran over to the fence, and she's like, I could tell that interaction. I'm like, uh-oh, who's this guy?
You could see it was a little bit more. Yeah.
And that was Jake.
Tell me about the Grammy nomination. That had to be pretty special.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Just to have your daughter's name associated with the Grammy Awards, yeah, it's got to, yeah, be a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, yeah, that was, blew me away. Crazy. One more of those crazy things that, yeah, you kind of forget about, and you're like, yeah, that really did happen.
And the other one I think that's so special was this year. She was ACM, yeah, New Artist of the Year.
New female artist.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you watch that from him?
We watched that one from home. And then this fall, she had another one that we actually came down and went to.
So you guys own, you know, two large companies. You've got, you know, a brood of kids and everything. So how do you manage like getting to see or hit the road or go to shows, or like, how have y'all kind of managed that over the years? Cause I'm sure if you could, you'd probably be at all of it, but it's not very realistic, is it?
Yeah. It's funny. Cause when she first started pursuing it, I wasn't at the trucking company when Haley first started.
Okay.
Coming down when she moved down to go to college. So I came down a lot because that was my oldest too. And I'm like, I gotta get to Nashville and make sure everything's okay. And the mother of me was like trying to keep a foot here to keep an eye on her, make sure everything's good and keep everything at home. So back in those times, when she had first moved down here and I was coming down so much, I kind of figured, when she hits it, like, I'm going to be selling the t-shirts.
Yeah.
Like, there all the time. But then, yeah, like, since then, we bought the trucking company. And so I've thought I was going to be able to just do a little bit there, but that turned into a lot of time and a lot of stuff. So I'm hardly ever getting to tag along that much now, which is sad. But I do when she has big shows and really cool venues.
Yeah.
Or she's playing with people that I love, you know, I'm like, I'm taking off.
There you go. It's
I'll be back on Monday.
Exactly. Yeah. She's about to head out with Jason Aldean, I think. Is that the next big tour for her?
I think she's playing Dan and Shay this spring, doing some shows for them. And then she's doing some Luke Combs show. And then I think it's Jason Aldean.
Yeah. Wow.
So it's kind of hard because now it's like you got to kind of pick and choose. And I'm like, I want to go to all of them, but I can't.
What would you say that she got from her mama? She looks a lot like her mama.
She looks like mama. Thank you. That's nice. I would say definitely her dreamer kind of, I think I can, believe in you can.
Mm-hmm.
Some of that.
She kind of came out believing in herself, didn't she?
Yeah.
And that's a really special trait for a girl to have.
Yeah.
You know, belief in themselves, confidence.
The confidence she got from her dad.
Really?
Like, I'm kind of got my head in the clouds as far as believing anything can happen.
Yeah.
But the confidence that she has, which is amazing and awesome, and I'm so glad she got it, she came from her dad.
That's awesome.
But I'd say her quick wit came from her mom. Sense of humor.
Yeah.
I think it came from her mom.
But there was never really a part of you that was just like, oh, that's a cute little goal or dream. Oh, she wants to be a country star. That's cute. You were like, okay, let's figure this out.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Let's do it. When I grew up, you know, my whole family, nobody really ever left Cedar Rapids, Shoeyville. We're outside of Cedar Rapids, but Cedar Rapids is the city there.
Mm-hmm.
And I have so many relatives that live in there, and nobody ever wandered off to do their own thing, really. Other than I had one sister that moved to Louisiana. So I always wanted to take off and venture off, but I'm like, I can't leave all my family here. I'll miss out on, you know, so-and-so growing up and this and that. And so when Haley wanted to venture off, like, I'm like, scared to death that somebody's going to do that. But so glad she did. And I'm like, you know, they got to wander off when they're young just to try it and see. And I'm like, I wanted her to get out of this town and kind of see what else the world had to offer. But at the same time, I'm like, oh, but what if she don't come back?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's kind of the thing. It almost sounds like that big dreamer, adventurous part of you mixed with her dad's confidence made it work.
Yeah, you know? The perfect storm there.
Yeah, exactly. What are you most excited about? Like, what's coming up next for her? Of course, she's about to be super busy with these tours and stuff. Is it that? Is it getting to live the dream of, you know, opening for some pretty big names?
Yeah. What I'm most excited about, I don't know, I'm excited for her for all of it. It's still kind of all so new and like a pinch me thing where you're like, am I going to wake up and that was all a dream that all this is happening? But she's talking about building a house back in Iowa. So
wow.
I'm kind of most excited for that.
That would be awesome. Yeah.
She's on the road so much that she kind of thinks she can live wherever she wants to live because she's always traveling anyway.
Right.
So that part really excites me most.
Where's Jake from? Will he be up for that?
Jake's from Iowa too.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Yeah. Oh, that's perfect then.
Yeah.
And I love that she's tied to her roots too. It sounds like
that's pretty funny that she decided, you know, she found herself an Iowa boy too down here in Nashville.
Yeah. What are the chances of that? Yeah. Next time we talk, Roulette on the Heart is going to be a big old hit, right?
Yeah.
We're going to hope that.
Definitely.
And then you and I will celebrate together at the number one party.
Exactly. Yes. That sounds amazing.
It's been so fun to talk to you.
Yeah. Thank you. It was great.
Hey, if you haven't already seen the music video for Connor and Haley's duet, Roulette on the Heart, I will put a link in the show notes. My oldest son, Cooper, directed and edited it, and it's so fantastic. Hey, thanks for listening. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss an episode. You can also watch on YouTube if you prefer. We are so glad you're here, and we'll be back with a new episode next week.